noises round about us.
Let us from it.
What pleasure, sir, find we in life to lock it from action and adventure?
Nay, what hope have we in hiding us? This way the Romans must or for Britain slay us, or receive us for barbarous and unnatural revolts during their use, and slay us after.
Sons, we'll hire to the mountains, there secure us. To the king's party there's no going. Newness of Cloten's death, we being not known, not mustered among the bands, may drive us to a render where we have lived, and so extort from that which we have done, whose answer would be death drawn on with torture.
This is, sir, a doubt in such a time nothing becoming you, nor satisfying us.
It is not likely that when they hear the Roman horses neigh, behold their quartered fires, have both their eyes and ears so cloyed importantly as now that they will waste their time upon our note to know from whence we are.
Oh, I am known of many in the army. Many years. Though Cloten then but young, you see, not wore him from my remembrance. And besides, the king hath not deserved my service, nor your love's, who find in my exile the want of breeding, the certainty of this hard life, I hopeless to have the courtesy your cradle promised, but to be still hot summer's tamings and the shrinking slaves of winter.
Then be so better to cease to be, pray, sir, to the army. I and my brother are not known. Yourself so out of thought, and thereto so o'ergrown, cannot be questioned.
By this sun that shines, I'll thither. What thing is it that I never did see man die? Scarce ever looked on blood but that of coward hares, hot goats, and venison. Never bestrid a horse, save one that had a rider like myself, who ne'er wore rowel nor iron on his heel. I am ashamed to look upon the holy sun, to have the benefit of his blessed beams remaining so long a poor unknown.
By heavens, I'll go. If you will bless me, sir, and give me leave, I'll take the better care. But if you will not, the hazard therefore do fall on me by the hands of Romans.
So say I, amen.
No reason I, since of your lives you set so slight a valuation, should reserve my cracked one to more care. Have with you, boys. If in your country wars you chance to die, that is my bed too, lads, and there I'll lie. Lead! The time seems long. Their blood thinks scorn. Till it fly out and show them princes born.
Yea, bloody clock, I'll keep thee, for I wish thou shouldst be colored thus. You married husbands, if each of you should take this course, how many must murder wives much better than themselves for wrying but a little? Oh, Pisanio, every good servant does not all commands. No bond but to do just ones. Gods! If you should obtain vengeance on my faults, I never have lived to put on this. So had you saved the noble Imogen to repent, and struck me, wretch, more worth your vengeance. But, alas, you snatched them hence for little faults. That's love, to have them fall no more. You some permit to second ills with ills, each elder worse, and make them dread it to the doer's thrift. But Imogen is your own. Do your best wills, and make me blessed to obey. I am brought hither among the Italian gentry, and to fight against my lady's kingdom, tis enough that... Britain, I have killed thy mistress! Peace! I'll give no wound to thee. Therefore, good heavens, hear patiently my purpose. I'll disrobe me of these Italian weeds, and suit myself as does a Britain peasant, so I'll fight against the part I come with. So I'll die for thee, O Imogen, even for whom my life is every breath of death, and thus unknown, pitied nor hated, to the face of peril myself I'll dedicate. Let me make men know more valor in me than my habits show. Gods, put the strength of the Leonati in me! Shame the guise of the world, I will begin the fashion, less without and more within.
Camest thou from where they made the stand?
I did, though you, it seems, come from the flyers.
I did.
No blame be to you, sir, for all was lost. But that the heavens fought, the king himself of his wings destitute, the army broken, and but the backs of Britain seen, all flying through a straight lane, the enemy full-hearted, lolling the tongue with slaughtering, having work more plentiful than tools to do it, struck down some mortally, some slightly touched, some falling merely through fear. But the straight pass was damned with dead men hurt behind, and cowards living to die with length and shame.
Where was this lane?
Close by the battle, ditched and walled with turf, which gave advantage to an ancient soldier, an honest one, I warrant, who deserved so long a breeding as his white beard came to. In doing this for his country, he, with two striplings lads more like to run the country base than to commit such slaughter, with faces fit for mass, were rather fair than those for preservation cased, or shame made good the passage, cried to those that fled,
"Our Britons' hearts die flying, not our men. To darkness fleet souls that fly backwards. Stand, or we are Romans and will give you that like beasts which you shun beastly and may save, but to look back and frown. Stand! Stand!"
These 3,000 confident, in act as many, for 3 performers are the file when all the rest do nothing. With this word,
"Stand! Stand!"
accommodated by the place, more charming with their own nobleness, which could have turned a distaff to a lance, gilded pale looks, part shame, part spirit renewed, that some turned coward but by example. Oh, a sin in war, damned in the first beginners, began to look the way that they did, and to grin like lions upon the pikes of the hunters. Then began a top of the chaser, a retire, anon a rout, confusion thick, forthwith they fly, chickens, the way which they stooped eagles, slaves, the strides they victors made, and now our cowards, like fragments in hard voyages, became the life of the need. Having found the back door open of the unguarded hearts, heavens, how they wound! Some slain before, some dying, some their friends overborne of the former wave. 10 chased by 1 are now each one the slaughterman of 20. Those that would die or e'er resist are grown the mortal bugs of the field.
This was strange chance, a narrow lane, an old man and 2 boys.
Nay, do not wonder at it. You are made rather to wonder at the things you hear than to work any. Will you rhyme upon it and vent it for a mockery? Here is 1, 2 boys, an old man twice a boy, a lane. Preserve the Britons was the Romans' bane.
Nay, be not angry, sir.
Black, to what end? Who dares not stand his foe, I'll be his friend. For if he'll do as he is made to, I know he'll quickly fly my friendship too. You have put me into rhyme.
Farewell, you're angry.
Still going? This is a lord. Noble misery to be in the field and ask, what news of me? Today, how many would have given their honors to have saved their carcasses, took heel to do it, and yet died too? I, in mine own woe charmed, could not find death where I did hear him groan, nor feel him where he struck. Being an ugly monster, 'tis strange he hides him in fresh cups, soft beds, sweet words, or hath more ministers than we that draw his knives of the war. Well, I will find him for being now a favorer to the Briton. No more a Briton. I have resumed again the part I came in. Fight I will no more, but yield me to the veriest hind that shall once touch my shoulder. Great the slaughter is here made by the Roman. Great the answer be Britons must take. For me, my ransom's death. On either side I come to spend my breath, which neither here I'll keep nor bear again, but ended by some means for Imogen.
Great Jupiter be praised, Lucius is taken. 'Tis thought the old man and his sons were angels.
There was a 4th in a silly habit that gave the affront with them.
Ah, so 'tis reported, but none of them can be found. Stand, who's there?
A Roman, who had not now been drooping here if seconds had answered him.
Lay your hands on him! A dog, a leg of Roman shall not return to tell what crows have pecked them here. He prides his service as if he were of note. Bring him to the king!
Ah! You shall not now be stolen. You have locks upon you, so graze as you find pastured.
Aye, or a stomach.
Most welcome bondage. For thou art away, think to liberty. Yet am I better than one that's sick of the gout, since he had rather grown so in perpetuity than be cured by the sure physician Death, who is the key to unbar these locks. My conscience, thou art fettered more than my shanks and wrists. You good gods, give me the penitent instrument to pick that bolt, then free forever! Is it enough that I am sorry? So children temporal fathers do appease. Gods are more full of mercy. Must I repent? I cannot do it better than in gyves, desired more than constrained. To satisfy, if of my freedom 'tis the main part, take no stricter render of me than my all. I know you are more clement than vile men, who of their broken debtors take a 3rd, a 6th, a 10th, letting them thrive again on their abatement. That's not my desire, for Imogen's dear life take mine, and though 'tis not so dear, yet 'tis a life, you coined it. 'Tween man and man they weigh not every stamp, though light take pieces for the figure's sake. You rather mine being yours. And so, great powers, if you will take this audit, take this life, and cancel these cold bonds. Oh, Imogen, I'll speak to thee in silence.
No more, thou Thunder Master, show thy spite on mortal fleas. With Mars fallout, with Juno chide that thy adulteries, rates, and revenges. Hath my poor boy done aught but well, whose face I never saw? I died whilst in the womb he stayed, attending nature's law. Whose father then, as men report, thou orphan's father art. Thou shouldst have been and shielded him from this earth-vexing smart.
Lucina lent not me her aid, but took me in my throes. That from me was posthumous ripped, came crying amongst his foes. A thing of pity.
Great nature, like his ancestry, molded the stuff so fair, that he deserved the praise of the world, as great Cecilius as e'er.
When once he was mature for man, in Britain where was he that could stand up his parallel, or fruitful object be in the eye of Imogen, that best could deem his dignity?
With marriage wherefore he was mocked to be exiled, and thrown from Leonati's seat, and cast from her his dearest one, sweet Imogen!
Why did you suffer Iacomo, slight thing of Italy, to taint his nobler heart and brain with needless jealousy, and to become the Geckon scorn of the other's villainy?
For this, from stiller seats we came, our parents and us twain, that striking in our country's cause fell bravely and were slain, our fealty and tenacious right with honor to maintain.
Like hardiment posthumous hath to Cymbeline performed. Then, Jupiter, thou king of gods, why hast thou thus adjourned the graces for his merits due, being all to dolors turned?
Thy crystal window ope, look out, no longer exorcise upon a valiant race thy harsh and potent injuries.
Since, Jupiter, our son is good, take off his miseries.
Peep through thy marble mansion, help, or we poor ghosts will cry to the shining synod of the rest against thy deity.
Help, Jupiter, or we appeal, and from thy justice fly.
No more, you petty spirits of region low, offend our hearing. Hush! How dare you ghosts accuse the thunderer, whose bolt you know sky-planted batters all rebelling coasts. Poor shadows of Elysium. Hey! Rest upon your never-withering banks of flowers. Be not with mortal accidents oppressed. No care of yours it is. You know it is ours. Whom best I love, I cross. To make my gift the more delayed, delighted. Be content. Your low-laid son our Godhead will uplift. His comforts thrive. His trials well are spent. Our jovial star reigned at his birth, and in our temple was he married. Rise and fade. He shall be lord of Lady Imogen, and happier much by his affliction made. This tablet lay upon his breast, wherein our pleasure his full fortune doth confine. And so away! No further with your din, express impatience, lest you stir up mine! Out, eagle! To my palace crystalline!
He came in thunder. His celestial breath was sulphurous to smell. The holy eagle stooped as to foot us. His ascension is more sweet than our blessed fields. His royal bird prunes the immortal wing and cloys his beak as when his god is pleased.
Thanks, Jupiter.
The marble pavement closes. He has entered his radiant roof. Away! And to be blessed, let us with care perform his great behest.
Sleep. Thou hast been a grandsire, and begot a father to me, and thou hast created a mother and two brothers. But...
oh, scorn! Gone! They went hence so soon as they were born! And so I am awake. Poor wretches that depend on greatness's favor dream as I have done. Wake and find nothing. But alas, I swerve. Many dream not to find, neither deserve, and yet are steeped in favors.
So am I, to have this golden chance and know not why. What fairies haunt this ground? A book. A rare one. Be not, as is our fangled world, a garment nobler than it covers. Let thy effects so follow, to be most unlike our courtiers, as good as promise.
When as a lion's whelp shall, to himself unknown, without seeking find, and be embraced by a piece of tender air, and when from a stately cedar shall be lopped branches, which, being dead many years, shall after revive, be jointed to the old stock and freshly grow. Then shall Posthumus end his miseries, Britain be fortunate, and flourish in peace and plenty.
'Tis still a dream, or else such stuff as madmen tongue and brain not, either both or nothing, or senseless speaking, or speaking such as sense cannot untie. Be what it is, the action of my life is like it, which I'll keep if but for sympathy.
Come, sir, are you ready for death?
Over-roasted, rather. Ready long ago.
Hanging is the word, sir. If you be ready for that, you are well cooked.
So, if I prove a good repast to the spectators, the dish pays the shot.
Oh, a heavy reckoning for you, sir. But the comfort is you shall be called to no more payments, fear no more tavern bills, which are often the sadness of parting as a procuring of mirth. You shall come in flint for want of meat, depart reeling with too much drink. Sorry that you have paid too much and sorry you are paid too much. Purse and brain both empty. The brain the heavier for being too light. The purse too light, being drawn of heaviness. Of this contradiction you shall now be quit. Oh, the charity of a penny cord. It sums up thousands in a trice. You have no true debtor or creditor but it. Of what's past is, and to come, the discharge. Your neck, sir, is pen-book encounters. So the acquittance follows.
I'm merrier to die than thou art to live.
Indeed, sir, he that sleeps feels not the toothache. But a man that were to sleep your sleep, and a hangman to help him to bed, I think he would change places with his officer. For look you, sir, you know not which way you shall go.
Yes, indeed do I, fellow.
Your death has eyes in his head, then. I have not seen him so pictured. You must either be directed by some that take upon them to know, or do take upon yourself that which I am sure you do not know, or jump the after inquiry on your own peril. And how you shall speed in your journey's end, I think you'll never return to tell one.
I tell thee, fellow, there are none want eyes to direct them the way I am going, but such as wink and will not use them.
Oh, what an infinite mock is this, that a man should have the best use of eyes to see the way of blindness. I'm sure hanging's the way of winking.
Knock off his manacles. Bring your prisoner to the king.
Thou bring'st good news. I'm called to be made free.
I'll be hanged then.
Thou shalt be then freer than a jailer. No bolts for the dead.
Unless a man would marry a gallows and beget young gibbets, I never saw one so prone. Yet on my conscience there are verier knaves desire to live, for all he be a Roman, and there be some of them too that die against their wills. So should I if I were one. I would we were all of one mind, and one mind good. Oh, there were desolation of jailers and gallowses. I speak against my present profit, but my wish has a preferment in it.